You are listening to Destiny Pizza.
Today is Monday, December 7th, 2015. It is week 134 of Destiny Pizzas. I'm Drew Patel.
I'm Mike Steska.
Not much news today, but we are going to talk about the trailers on
Thursday. So
you're like, the Batman vs. Superman trailer came out.
But this is superhero news. It's like, but
we have the structure to maintain.
We have a segment, so. Tease for three more days.
Because if we don't talk about it then those episodes will be tiny.
True.
And if we talk about it today, then those episodes, Monday episodes, become super long.
True. And then it's also a build up to that, too.
Yeah.
And like sometimes we have no trailers to talk about and then awesome news that comes out on Monday. So just week to week.
Yeah. And you get America's Sweetheart that day. So
exactly.
Yeah, because it used to be Mr. T, Rivia, which made sense. Now we have America's Sweetheart, which makes no sense.
Exactly.
But
half the stuff on this podcast makes no sense. So yeah. That's kind of the theme we're going for. It started out making sense, and then it just evolves into something.
I forgot what. I saw some. There's something I saw. Maybe it wasn't this week. Probably wasn't this week. But I was like, we totally called that. Like, where was it? Oh, yeah, it is this week. I was like, it's the weird connection.
I think there's a bump.
There's a bump that we give things.
Yeah.
And then, like, the person dies or the person becomes super relevant.
Yeah. So it's always a little nugget of something that we come up with that just comes out there within the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and I'm like, huh.
It's like, that's weird.
Or like, I mean, obviously, for this one, like, everyone's talking about this person.
Yeah.
So it's not like that, but I like to think that Destiny Pizzas gave the extra butt push.
We're just that over the edge. I mean, just build up and then all of a sudden explodes.
Like we're talking about Wes Craven for weeks, then he dies. We talk about Philip Seymour Hoffman for weeks, then he dies.
Kind of the touch of death this podcast, a little bit.
Pretty much. Managed to kill everyone we talk about.
Maybe we should selectively talk about things that we like. People we like, we don't care for. We're like, put them in the podcast and be like
we'll be an ISIS exclusive podcast. We only talk about ISIS.
Yeah. And then we can get rid of them.
And then they'll all die. But, yeah. Let's get into some superhero news. It got too real there for a second.
It did. It really did.
So,
let's go back to the nonsense of the fiction. Let's talk about superhero world.
Fictional laws and stuff instead of
fictional
real world.
Laws that,
for fictional traumatizing events instead of real life ones.
Yes. So everyone remembers when, in Avengers Age of Ultron, when they leveled that city in Sokovia. So they've included the Sokovia Accords in the Phase 2 Blu-ray set for Marvel.
No, this is strange to me.
Yeah. Yes, because it's in Phase 2?
This is included in the Phase 2 because we didn't know about this until in... Because
technically it's in Ant-Man. They mention it.
Yeah, at the end of Ant-Man, they mentioned the Accord, like in the post-credit sequence. Mm-hmm. He's like, but what about the Accords?
Yeah.
And
we see it in the Captain America Civil War trailer.
Yeah.
Where he's handing a booklet of the cords or whatever. But like it's really more it's born out of phase 2, I guess, but it's really phase 3.
I also didn't know Ant-Man was considered phase 2.
Yeah, that's phase 2.
That's so weird to me.
Yeah.
I was like, we have no structure anymore. I thought phases always ended with the Avengers. I guess not.
Nah, they changed their minds. They're like, "Wait a second.
No, let's just put this one in here."
It's like
I think it's normally going to end with the Avengers movies.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, that's the question right now. Is Inhumans phase 3 or 4? We still don't.
We don't know.
And it was supposed to be before the last Avengers part 2, but now it's after. So I think as they shuffle things, they don't really know either.
Yeah. So you want to read the Accords?
I guess we can. I can't really read it from here. But
okay, I'll read it then.
All right.
The Sokovia Accords, in accordance with the document at hand, I hereby certify that the below-mentioned participants, peoples, and individuals shall no longer operate freely or unregulated, but instead operate under the rules, ordinances, and governances of the aforementioned United Nations panel, acting only when and if the panel deems it appropriate and or necessary. And then it's in French on the other side, and it says, the Avengers, les Vengeurs, Los Vengadores, and then something in, I want to say, Japanese. And then there's 8 spots underneath it. Clint Barton, a.k.a. Hawkeye, Wanda Maximoff, a.k.a. Scarlet Witch, James Rhodes, a.k.a. War Machine, or Iron Patriot, Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America, Natasha Romanoff, a.k.a. Black Widow, Anthony Stark, a.k.a. Tony Stark.
Who's Anthony Stark?
He's like, please, Anthony's my father. Call me Iron Man. Iron Man. Vision, a.k.a. Vision, and Sam Wilson, a.k.a. Falcon. I was interested. That's shocking to me to see his name.
Sam Wilson.
They don't even ask Thor to sign this thing.
No. They're like, ah, you're an alien.
He's like, I mean, an alien god.
We'll have a machine sign it. We'll have this weird human
cyborg thing.
Yeah. They're like, drafted the bill, and they're like, we can't find Hulk, so let's not even put him on here.
Yeah.
It's like, if we have Bruce Banner signed, does that count?
Do you think they're just going to be like, oh, he's dead?
The Hulk?
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, we don't know where he is, so we assume he died in the...
Oh, they're going to lie, too.
Yeah. Because there's also, like, no Nick Fury.
Yeah, because I think he's technically dead. This is like a military thing and a government thing, not a S.H.I.E.L.D. thing.
Okay.
I think. I'm guessing. I mean, I assume since they're bringing in William Hurt, Thunderbolt Ross,
yeah,
it's going to be a military government thing and not a S.H.I.E.L.D. thing at all. So maybe they will lie and say that, but it's like...
Bruce Banner died in the incident or whatever they call it.
But if they did put him on there, would Bruce Banner signing it count? Or, like, because he has no control over the Hulk, really.
That's true.
So, like, would they have to, you got a Hulk out, and then you got to sign this
and then
Hulk.
Sign it again.
He's like, I can't sign this, I'm Hulk.
He's like, you're making me angry, though. I'm almost going to Hulk out.
And I guess this is an Avengers-only thing?
Yeah, because it says the Avengers.
Yeah, so it's not about, like,
Ant-Man
random people.
Isn't included.
Oh, yeah, he's like, where's my beef in this
He's
fight?
Like, I'm not an Avenger yet. Like, I was just an Avenger. Like, you said you wanted me for the Avengers,
yeah.
But...
Come on, I'm more of an Avenger than Hawkeye. Come on.
Oh, Wanda Maximoff.
Yeah, she just got here.
Yeah. This is the little seedling of...
Yes, a little build-up to Civil War.
To Civil War, yeah. So. I find most Civil Wars start with a UN agreement.
I think so. That's how it usually works out, right? Like, we got to draw up some paperwork, and now people are like, I'm not signing that paper.
And then he's like, and everyone else is like, you better sign this paper.
Yeah.
That reminds me of when I was... At work, a lot, like, well, I've been at this company for 7 years now. At my family's company, I've been there for life.
Yeah.
But officially working in the capacity of an employee for 7 years. I remember really early on, we'd get these memos circulated where you'd have to sign them. Because what my uncle would do, like, someone would do something that my uncle didn't like, and then he would circulate a whole memo about it and make everyone sign it,
mm-hmm.
and saying, like, I will not do this one thing.
Oh, really?
So you're like, if you're an observant person, you know who this memo is targeting.
Yeah.
But it'd be like, I am obligated to work 8 hours a day, take 2 10-minute breaks, and take an hour lunch, and you'd sign it. And that was because someone...
Wasn't doing those
wasn't
things, obviously.
Taking, like, yeah, it was like either taking like an hour and a half lunch or whatever. And then I was like, one time I was reluctant to sign it. I was like, I don't want to sign this. I was like, you can't make me sign this.
Yeah.
It was right when I took my business law class.
That's kind of how I would feel, too.
And then
I'd be like, I'm already like signed up as an employee. Aren't those the guidelines as an employee?
Yeah.
So why am I doubly signing something?
So then someone was just like his secretary was just like, just sign it. Just sign it. Just sign it. And she like kept on pushing me to sign it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was about to start my own civil war.
Yeah, it's like, hey, it all starts with this document.
I was like, hey, you're quit Tony Stark to me, lady.
Not cool, not cool.
Yeah. But, yeah. Another bit of superhero news is Ryan Coogler, who directed Creed, might be directing Black Panther.
Ooh.
It looks like this guy, we've like seen so many names attached to this movie.
Yeah, this
it
looks
seems
like
the
most
this,
serious,
yeah.
most real thing.
Because, like, I've read earlier, like, that day, it was, like, Ryan Coogler in talks. And then the next, like, an hour later, it's, like, Ryan Coogler's the chosen, like, was chosen. And mm-hmm. So I was, like, From, like, the same website. It's not like it's from two different websites, obviously.
Yeah. I really hope they lock him down.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm hearing good things about Creed. I didn't see Fruitvale Station, but people like that movie a lot. So
yeah.
He did that movie as well, so.
That'd be interesting to
That'd
see.
Be a good, good guy to get.
I was surprised. I wonder if they tried to go after what's his name, the dude who directed Beasts of No Nation.
I'm not sure. I know the only names I think I've heard is the Ava who did
Selma
and then F. Gary Gray, who did Fast and Furious. That's the only one.
Well, he's doing Fast and Furious. He did Straight Outta Compton, right?
Yeah, there you're yeah. right. You're right. You're right. He did Straight Outta Compton. They tried and then to he was him, in Talk. And then he talked at the same exact time as Fast and Furious, and then he took that one instead.
Ava Garvey, something like that.
I thought it was Do something. I kind of want to look it up now. It's like Ava DuVery or something.
Yeah, that sounds right. Who am I thinking of? That's the worrying thing.
It's somebody else. Yeah, Ava DuVernay.
Yeah. I got some letters in there.
Some letters, you know? Close.
Let's see. But yeah, so that's all the superhero movie news we have this week. It's crazy.
Yeah, really like nothing came out about
anything.
Movies. Yeah. I think they're filming. I think some pictures leaked of Wonder Woman. I didn't see them any or anything, but I heard about
I didn't see any either.
I heard about something. But I don't think it was anything big, or it would have probably got bigger.
I think after, news. What was it? Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so jaded that I was like, who cares?
Yeah, I think that's what most people are focused on anyway.
That's why I wanted so many. It was crazy. Because you posted it. I didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was posting the episode, and then I saw, you posted it on the Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, enter Doomsday. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, let me watch this. And then I was like, that's weird. And then I went to sleep. And then I woke up, and, I got, 5 or 6 texts.
Mm-hmm.
About did you see the Batman vs Superman trailer? What do you think? And I'm like, holy shit! I've made it. I'm five or six people.
Blowing it up. My phone.
My phone is blowing up. But it was just
I almost had to scroll down my phone to see all the texts.
They almost didn't fit on the. Luckily, I have the plus, so no need to worry.
Screen, it was enough.
I could see everyone who texted me. But yeah, I was just like. A lot of people saw this and feel the same way. But then there's a few people online who are just so into it. I was
so hardcore, I can't be moved on.
And I'm like, this is interesting. I was
I'd be interested to see their perspective.
There's one person who I didn't get a text from who I want to see. I want to see what Carol thought of it.
Yeah. She's always interesting.
Because she was there when I made that call, when I was like, what if this movie sucks, you guys?
Yeah, true.
When I was really depressed that weekend.
The more I learn about Star Wars and Civil War, more excited I get. More I learn about Batman vs Superman, I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, just
please stop.
I'm like, I don't even think Warner Brothers knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Whatever.
Let's talk about Supergirl.
Good news for Supergirl. She's getting a full season. So,
is anyone surprised by this?
I don't think so, but it was oh, great ratings, then they stumble, but that's what always happens, and then it leveled off, so. Seems to be, I like the show, I think it's doing well, I think the numbers are good.
Better than Gotham?
I like it better than Gotham, because it's an actually superhero show, where Gotham's just we're gonna murder people for an hour. That's what the show is.
It's
so many people die, I'm like,
how does Gotham have any population?
Yeah, how are you not killing everybody? How are all these villains gonna survive it for 10 more, 20, 15 more years or something.
At that rate, it's I think they just kill the wrong people every time.
Yeah. They're just they always hit their henchmen. They go through probably so many henchmen because they're
the turnover rate is crazy.
Yeah, we couldn't kill the actual villain.
That's what someone should do on Glassdoor.com. They should do fake employment of supervillains. And be I hated working for the Penguin.
Yeah,
such a
dick. It really sucked. So I went to Mr. Freeze, but it was all cold all the time.
It's so cold. I always have to wear that's how it is at my work. But it's I always have to wear a jacket. Haven't you heard of
how's that not a show yet? I mean, they're spinning off Damage.
Well, they did that one. Yeah, the Damage team. That's what the one they're doing.
Yeah, but they can do the henchman thing where he's
It was an office. The office meets the henchman.
Yeah.
Just call it hench.
Yeah, but he's going across all the pantheon of Gotham villains. He's just saying the differences and
do you remember
this guy's dangerous, I don't even want to touch him. And
that reminds me of did you ever watch the show called The Carpoolers?
Oh yeah, the dumbest premise for a show. They all carpool.
Live on one street and they all carpool to work, and two of them work together, but the other ones, and then TJ Miller was in that show. That's why I thought about it recently.
Was Ike Barron? I think somebody who was in the Caveman show was in that show.
Nick Kroll was in that show. Or was
I think I knew like all those guys in that show, but I only saw like, a few episodes. I know it got canceled like right away.
Yeah, but what if they did that where it's just a bunch of henchmen who like drink?
Oh
on,
yeah,
like, Fridays
one,
or something.
One guy works for this guy. Yeah. Oh, that's even better show. Instead of one guy going for all, it's like all different guys and they're always working for him.
Yeah, and they're like, you would not believe what I had to do.
Yeah.
Or, like, one guy comes in, and he's all, like, red and puffy, and he's like, Poison Ivy, like, touched you again, didn't she? And I'm like, yeah, like, I can't. You'd think that we would just have chamomile lotion, like, everywhere, but yeah. Can I get an antihistamine? Like, are you going to drink with that antihistamine? I think that's a show.
In I like that a
if
lot.
If they're making, like, damage like, control, they can make that
yeah,
a show.
I like that idea a lot, actually.
Marvel, get at me. Except, no, actually, you can't do it with Marvel. You have to do it with DC.
Yeah, Marvel doesn't have good enough villains.
Yeah.
Like, It really only. I mean, it could work with Superman. It like really only works with Superman or Batman villains.
Yeah, because they're like,
mostly Batman villains because they're so unique in so many
and they're on Earth.
Types. Yes,
they're like localized.
Yes, yeah, they're all in one location. And there's no aliens involved in it.
Yeah,
it's all like straight.
And
up.
They're like human.
Yeah,
and they're long lasting.
And Batman and they always have henchmen.
Yeah,
like some. Villains don't have henchmen, but
yeah, imagine how great it would be if you could just rotate the cast out as you please.
Exactly.
You're like, oh,
this guy got killed off. Like, you do it like Game of Thrones style. You can kill like, people, yeah. Walking Dead style. It'd be like, yeah, this guy, we killed him anyway. They had to hire a new henchman. This is the new guy, but he joins the same carpool or whatever, same bar. Yeah. He's just the same group of friends and stuff.
He's like, oh, yeah, I heard about this new guy. He started working for this guy named Bane. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We'll see how long I heard his backbreaking work.
Boom.
Bam. But yeah, so that's an idea, I guess.
There you go. Throw it out there.
Also, Attilia Ricci joining Supergirl as the Silver Banshee, mm-hmm. which is cool because I think it's a really cool-looking villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be interested to see how they make it look on
real
life.
Yeah, because what the... I mean, they haven't... Supergirl seems to be going like... I don't know if they have a bigger... They must have a bigger budget, I think, than like Flash or... Arrow or something?
Probably, because it's on like CW or CBS
yeah,
proper instead of
because
like,
they seem to be doing like they did Red Tornado. Like they seem to be doing these villains that have a look that's harder to pull off than like I don't know what the craziest looking villain on Flash has been, but
Grodd.
I guess Grodd, yeah.
Or what was that other CG. One? The Shark?
King Shark.
King Shark.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess those were pretty crazy.
Name. King Shark.
King Shark. Oh, duh. Yeah, it's such a cooler name. But yeah, they seem to be doing like have a good amount of money. They do some crazy stuff on that show. But Gotham cast somebody. They've cast Michael Bowen as Matches Malone. So, I don't know who that is. But another casting. And then Agent Carter news. They have delayed the premiere because of the president.
Thanks, Obama.
Another thing he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, cause, so the State of the Union address is on... the 12th, I believe, and it was originally the series was originally going to, I think, on the 5th, but they didn't want to have
one episode break
and then another. They want to do it straight out,
mm-hmm.
so they don't.
Good for them.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't want to obviously go against the president. Oh, they could if they wanted to, but they don't want to. So they're waiting for the president.
Good for them. So I mean, he only has like
this is his last State of the Union. So
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
this is his last one. So,
as long as Rand Paul was it Rand Paul? Who's the Speaker of the House? No.
Oh, do we even have one yet?
Yeah, they just elected someone.
Oh, but is it Paul Ryan?
Yeah, Paul Ryan.
Okay,
as long as that guy's respectful and not like John Boehner, who's a dickhole.
Yeah, who's had the look on his face like that's
just
like the weirdest
on his phone
thing.
And
that,
shit.
That is the weirdest thing is that they the whole camera shot is them three: the president, the vice president, the Speaker of the House. So it's it's very awkward.
And he's like, I'm a Republican. I can be disrespectful.
Yeah, like,
I'm not in this party. And I'm like,
exactly.
He's still the president, dude. Like, show some respect.
It's just, yeah, that's the...
I say while there's a Democrat in power, once there's a Republican in power,
I guess it's
like,
it's the weirdest, most fun speech to watch. Just for the applause lines of like...
Yeah.
People get up.
No, I just love it when...
Like, you have... And then they say something like universal and it's like, you have to cheer for that.
Yeah.
And they like, do it, but they like, begrudgingly.
I
like,
love
the
it
military. And
when
like,
you
oh,
see
shoot.
People... When you see Obama coming out, and then he's like shaking
he's
people's hands,
hand.
And you can hear like he'd pick up on what he's saying. He's like, "Hey, how's it doing?"
Yeah,
and or what did he say? He's like, he said something, and my dad got very angry. He's like, "That's not how a president should talk." He's like, "Hey, dude, what's up?" A president said that to some guy. And I was like, yeah, that's my kind of president, man. Like,
yeah,
that's real life.
Those dudes who, like, actually get to shake his hand, I think they have to be there, like, hours ahead of time, and they have to actually, like, wait and stuff. Like, because I think it's just, like, the seats are first come, first serve, even for, like, senators and... Well, I guess if you're...
No, if you're a senator, you probably have, like, assigned seating, right?
True. But I guess to stand in that...
Because there's
that
one
desk. Stand there in the walkway, though. I guess, you know, I don't think those are senators and people.
No, like, some of them are
just
guests.
Those are just guests, yeah.
But do you know about that? How, like, there's that desk that's called the candy desk?
No.
And anyone who's assigned to that desk has to fill it with candy from, like, their local constituent.
What?
Yeah. That's, like, a tradition.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it always a different person, or is it...
Yeah, well, not, like, I think every term it's a different person.
Okay. So someone's doing that for a year. Or for 4 years, 4 years, or...
So, like, they usually fill candy from, like, their home state, like, candy that's made in their home state.
Oh.
Or that their home state is known for.
So, is it is always, like, a freshman senator? Like, their first...
I think so.
Because it'd suck if you got, like, a state that, like, has terrible candy.
Yeah. You're just like, no one wants, like...
It's like, no one wants that. I don't know, does Alaska have candy? I don't know.
Probably have some good candy.
I don't even know what candy is per state, like...
Yeah, like, what's our state known for? See's Candy? We have See's Candy in California. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Oh, dude, I think you'd be famous.
Yeah.
Candy Desk.
I always get somebody from California.
Yeah. Candy Desk has been a tradition in the United States Senate since 1968, whereby a senator who sits at a desk near a busy entrance keeps a drawer full of candy for members of the body. The same desk has not always been used. The candy desk was moved to its present position on the Republican side of the chamber after over 3 decades on the Democrat side, where it was used by several senators. The current occupant of the candy desk is Pennsylvania Senator Pat Toomey. He's been a senator for a while, right? Since 1999? No. Yeah, since... No.
I wonder if it's like a volunteer basis.
Since 2011. In 1965, California's George Murphy... Does anyone care about this?
No, we're done. We got it. It exists.
Okay.
You can keep going if you're interested. But.
Well, I'm interested in finding out what the California candy was. Oh, currently, it's Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
so it's Hershey.
It was 2011, so that guy was first term.
No, they started it in 1968.
Yeah, but his first term. I'm saying he was a freshman senator when they gave... Wait,
no,
he's had it for 4 years?
That's a current occupant.
Yeah, but just this year? When did he get it? When he first came into office? I'm assuming when he first got to office, they're like, hey, you're candy, man. He's like, what are you talking about?
They should mention
that. Didn't you learn this? I never heard that.
Cool if they mentioned that. Oh, he was elected on the seat of November 2nd, 2010.
Is that when you start the candy desk at your first...
I don't know. Oh, you want to know candy?
Yeah, what does he have?
He has Hershey candy. Hershey
okay,
chocolates.
Hershey, Pennsylvania. Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Oh, and the Democrats have their own now.
Oh, wow. That's when you know
the country's
divided is when they have their own candy desks.
Democrats
I'm going to get poisoned by the
Republicans.
I've
also had a candy desk since at least 1985, a roll-top desk located on the front wall belonging to the United States Senate Democratic Conference Secretary is also filled with sweets. This tradition began sometimes later than the better-known candy desk, and Hershey Kisses were the most popular candy from this desk during the 1980s, followed by small caramels.
Hmm.
Candy for this desk is paid for through a candy fund. How democratic.
That's
very democratic.
What, candy? Like, we're paying taxes on this candy, aren't
no,
we?
No, a candy fund to which senators who would like to partake of the desk contents contribute.
Okay.
Jay Rockefeller.
I have a feeling some of our tax money is going to that desk.
Jay Rockefeller then takes this money and purchases the candy.
Rockefeller?
Yeah.
What?
He's a senator, West Virginia.
He's the same guy every time, does it?
Yeah, I guess so. Since then.
So there's a candy desk guy who has it all the time. Then there's a guy who purchases it. Man, this is a complicated whole process.
And then other senators sometimes keep candy in their desks as well. Catherine Buck, a United States Senate page at the time, wrote the following in 2005. One senator with a particular strong hankering for chocolate is Jim Talent from Missouri. Once during a vote, he called people away from the candy desk to his own on the other side of the row. There were oohs and ahs until 6 people walked away with Russell Stover low-carb chocolate. I guess the Atkins craze had made its way to the Senate. She said.
This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, okay, so I can tell you who and what candy they have.
All right, let's do it.
1968,
simple.
George Murphy, California, no candy listed.
Boo!
January 21st, 1971 to January 3rd, 1977. So, yeah, it is the whole time.
Okay.
Paul Fannin from Arizona had hard candies. January 4th, 1977, through January 15th, 1979. Harrison Schmidt from New Mexico, hard candies.
He only lasted 2 years because he's like, I can't take it.
He's like, I can't take it. There's too much candy. I'm poor. I'm from New Mexico. You know what kind of candy we have in New Mexico? Very expensive hard candies. Roger Jepson from Iowa, hard candies from 1981 to 1983. 1983 to 1985. Steve Sims from Idaho, fine assortment of sweets from Candy and Chocolate Associations. Slade Gordon from Washington, 1985 to 1987. Ample quantities of
maybe
candies.
Maybe they switch it every 2 years. I can't imagine they're
no,
all...
No, because the first one was like six years.
Oh. Maybe that was just the first one. Oh, yeah. Like, this guy can't handle the candy for this long.
Actually, no, because later on it...
Goes
Slade
back.
Gordon goes back. John McCain had the candy desk for a little bit.
Yes!
But it doesn't tell you what kind of candy. Okay, so ample... Slade Gordon from Washington had ample quantities of candies made in his home state. And then John McCain, and then Slade Gorton again, then Jim Jeffords from Vermont, then Bob Bennett from Utah, then Rick Santorum from Pennsylvania had the Hershey Company and Just Born products.
So there are, like, famous ones on there, too. Yeah. That's what I was interested in. See if
and
any
Craig,
no names.
Craig Thomas from Wyoming, small local Wyoming confectionery businesses and chocolatiers. George Voinovich, Ohio. Spangler, Dum Dum Pops, and Mars Incorporated products in Harry London.
I wasn't paying attention. Was it always a senator? Was it always a House of Representative person, or is it switch?
It's a senator.
It's always a senator. Okay.
Dum Dums, though, that's pretty cool. George Lemieux from Florida had mini Hershey bars and Werther's Originals. I guess it's not always from their home state, then.
Huh.
Pat Toomey right now has Just Born quality confections, Josh Early candies, Mars products, which include Three Musketeers and Hershey products. Damn, that guy's... This is a good guy. But yeah, it's like 4 years or 2 years or 1 year. January 3rd to September 9th. Mel Martinez from Florida. It's because the guy had a Hispanic last name. That's probably why. They're like, we don't trust... You probably have lead in your candy.
You can't have the desk anymore.
But yeah, that's interesting. Where were we talking about that? Why?
We're still talking about the State of the Union.
Oh, State of the Union address, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's done in the State of the Union. Is done in like the Senate or the House.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no idea.
My
political science
Senate,
is very weak.
Wherever the Senate meets.
So you could have like your candy desk, and people could be like, "Hey, give us some candy."
Yeah, while the speech is going on, you're like, "I want some candy."
Oh, also Jelly Bellies are currently there.
So they put, they got to put more than one.
Oh, and then
in there.
After Santorum left the Senate in 2007, the candy desk was maintained by a number of senators for a short time each before Illinois Senator Mark Kirk began his stay in 2011. I wonder how are desks assigned? That's like the thing I care about.
Yeah.
Because, and like, it sucks because like this person literally has no space in their desk. Besides,
oh, wow.
It's
yeah,
like a drawer full of candy.
They can't even keep any paper or anything.
Well, I think they have a second drawer, but that kind of sucks. I'm like, hey dude, like, they're like, well, Drew, why is your Senator Drew Patel, why is your paper covered in candy? I'm like, no shit, it's covered in candy.
What do you think?
I'm in the candy desk, man.
Jeez.
I have ants all the time.
Oops, the pest control's gotta come to my desk all the time.
Yeah,
can't get any work done.
Why can't we get the Tupperware like the Democrats have it?
Their candy desk is way better.
In this weird universe that I'm a senator, I'm also a Republican.
I like that. You don't even get a Democratic candy desk.
That's not as exciting because everyone contributes to that one.
Yeah. The Republican one, what are you paid?
Who pays for
that one?
That's
the one we pay for.
I have to imagine the candy company is like footing the bill for that.
True. It's probably lobbyists. It's like, get my Mars bar.
Yeah, go get my Mars bars.
Passed.
Like, hey, you know, we want to start putting like weird chemicals in our candy. Like,
just let it slip and I'll give you them for free.
Yeah, we'll give you some old stock so that it doesn't have any chemicals in it.
We give you the fresh candy. Everyone else gets the crappy candy with chemicals that's cheaper. This is the good stuff.
That's the thing I think I would probably, they would see how un-American I am in that move because I'd be like, I don't want American candy.
Yeah.
I was like, American chocolate sucks.
That's what I feel like the problem would be. Is like,
I'm like, give me some
Cadbury. Oh, we have to do it from America? Oh.
You're like, oh,
it's not
shit.
As,
okay, never
not
mind.
As enticing.
They just see me at Costco getting like pallets of candy.
What are you doing there?
I just got assigned to the candy desk.
They're like, what?
I'll be there for 2 to 3 years.
It's like, you hear what this guy's saying?
They're like, where do you work? At some office building or something? I'm like, I'm a senator. I'm actually your senator.
United States senator for the federal government.
Yeah.
You hear what this guy's saying? He thinks he's a senator.
Yeah. Mr. Pallet of Candy over here. Are my tax dollars paying for that?
It's the first thing they would ask. Yeah. It's like, actually, they are.
Actually, yeah.
Vote to repeal the candy desk.
I think that would make you the most hated person. That'd probably be worse than stalking with probably the European candies.
They'd keep coming after you. They'd be like, that's the guy that hates the candy desk.
Yeah. Like, if he doesn't like the candy desk, what does he like?
I want to see some senator bring that up at a hearing and just be like, we got to get rid of this candy desk.
It's really taking our legitimacy away.
Really very
away.
Distracting.
Yeah. It discredits us completely.
One guy's thinking about candy the whole time. He can't pay attention to these laws. He just starts signing and voting yes and no on things he does not understand.
I asked him for a pen the other week. He gave me a dum-dum.
It's horrible. It's not working out.
Yeah.
It's a tradition in the 60s that should be left in the 60s.
Yeah. You know what else they did in the 60s? Free sex. And drugs. Should we all have an acid desk too? Anyway, let's get back to
moving
it.
On. The Flash has cast somebody. They've cast Marco Grazzini as Tar Pit.
I'm guessing he slows people down and captures them and consumes them.
I would think so. I assume he looks like, I don't know what he looks like, but I assume he looks like Clayface.
Or like,
he's like a big giant tar pit.
Just like a bunch of tar, like the blob meets.
That is what I would think. Tar Pit. DC Comics. Let's see what he looks like. Yep, that's kind of what he looks like.
But he's on fire.
He's on fire. That's even cooler.
That is pretty cool.
He's like Clayface, but on fire.
He kind of looks like magma, like what I imagine. Well, not magma, like lava.
Yeah.
Because it has to come in contact with the air.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. That's going to be cool to see how they do that.
Yeah. And some video game news. Telltale is making a Batman game. So Telltale, they made Game of Thrones, Back to the Future, mm-hmm. Jurassic Park. All these cool games. Walking Dead.
Yeah, they're like story/games pretty much.
Yeah. They're going to make a Batman game. They just announced it at the Video Game Awards.
That's cool.
So, I'll let you know more about that as we get news.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to Star Wars. This is where Destiny Pizzas shine.
Our big Star Wars block.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, who we've been talking about on this podcast recently for his Broadway musical, Hamilton. Yes. I mean, everyone's talking about him.
Yeah.
He's on Jimmy Fallon. He's on 60 Minutes. He's on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you only watch those two shows. You don't know.
When you seek him out, you know he's really everywhere.
Yeah. Apparently, JJ, the story went like this.
Did you like being in my movie? He's like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
No. John Williams, JJ Abrams, like, John Williams, can you please write another Cantina style song for this movie? And John Williams was like, no.
I don't
want to do it. Yeah, he said, I don't want to do it. So then,
you just use the same one.
He's like, just use the same one.
That's a popular Cantina song.
That's
man.
Really popular for 30 years. It's like the Beatles.
Yes.
That Cantina band is like the Beatles of this universe. Actually, they're more like the Rolling Stones because they stayed together.
Yes. And they didn't die.
Yeah. You just see them all fucked up. Like,
they can't even play anymore. Yeah. People are like, because you know how some bands get older, but people don't care that they can't play anymore, but they're like, we just love seeing you. It's like them. It's like, they have lines of terrible.
Yeah.
But they're like,
out of
they're
tune
so
and stuff.
Famous. Yes.
They're like, now we're going to play a song off our new album. And they're like, no. John Williams. I believe that's how John Williams said no. Or whoever wrote the first Cantina song. Mm. I'm pretty sure it's John Williams. And then, so J.J. Abrams like, shit. Okay.
It's like the whole movie hinges on this Cantina
he's
song.
He's like, I'm going to go see this musical named Hamilton with my son. He goes to see Hamilton with his son. Lin-Manuel Miranda is not in the play that night. He's being replaced. But he was there, and he goes up to J.J. Abrams. He's like, hey, I'm a huge fan. If you need anyone to do a Cantina-style song for this movie, call me.
Oh, wow.
So J.J. Abrams is like, does this guy know John Williams? Like, this conversation just happened a few weeks
ago.
Crazy. Like, we didn't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So then J.J. Abrams emails him, and he's like, hey, actually, we do need someone to, like, do that. Like, John Williams said no. So Lin-Manuel Miranda's like, okay, I'm going to drop everything I'm working on right now, because he's working on putting his last musical into a movie, and he's working on another musical, which was on something. I forgot what it was. Anyways, and he's dealing with the huge success of Hamilton. He's like, I'm going to drop everything, work on the song, and I guess they sent songs back and forth for a few weeks, and then now it's done.
That's pretty cool. That's a crazy story, though.
That is a pretty crazy story.
Because he's probably thinking, like, who am I going to get to do it? And yeah. It's like, oh, this guy fell right in my lap.
He's like, am I going to ask Kanye West? I don't know. Like that, is that jumping the shark? What would George Lucas do?
And then you're like, wait.
Let me actually find some raw talent. He's not a douchebag. To my knowledge.
Yeah. That's a really interesting story.
Yeah. And I feel like I fostered this.
Yes.
Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it happened way before I even heard about this guy, probably. But I like to think that I had a little part of this.
Yeah, I mean, we were definitely talking about him a bunch, and then revealed.
And then the holy slice of pizza.
JJ's like, oh, it's out there. We can tell people.
Yeah, he's like, oh, they're talking about him on this podcast.
It's like, obviously. But like, that's how he decides to release information.
I like to think that J.J. Abrams is just sitting at his house. He's like, how can I get mentioned on Destiny Pizza?
That's what he's worried about. He's like, no one else is paying attention to me right now. I need to get mentioned on that podcast. That'll get the real bump. Give J.J. a huge bump.
Yeah. Actually, I was supposed to go see him yesterday.
J.J.? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're supposed to meet with him?
Yeah, for real.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where's he at?
He was at the YouTube space.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it was him, Kathleen Kennedy, Gwendolyn Christie, Daisy Ridley, and John Boyega.
Oh, really? What are they doing?
They were doing some speech or like some talk about storytelling.
Yeah.
And then like friend of the show, My Lin, was like, hey, how's your Friday looking? And I was like, not good. I was like, I have finals. Like,
tests, more tests.
I have like school. And she's like, yeah, that's probably important. She's like, well, here's this link.
He's like, well, you probably see J.J. Abrams. It's way more important.
And I was like, oh, I want to do that, but I can't. So, yeah. Oh, and then Star Wars Episode 8 news. A certain character is confirmed to return. I don't know if you want to know about it or not, since it is Star Wars Episode 8. But I consider everything that happens past Star Wars Episode 7.
I'd say right now. Probably not. Okay. And then we'll wait a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Until we see it, I guess. I don't know. I don't know because I didn't hear it. So I can't tell if it's... Yeah, I don't know.
I'll consider it a spoiler.
All right, let's stay kept in the dark.
Yeah.
Star Wars Rebels news. It is renewed for season 3.
Cool.
So, I'm glad. I like it. And Yoda is confirmed to appear this season again. He appeared in season 1 for an episode, so he's going to show up again. So, that's cool.
So, we could conceivably find out why he went to Dagobah.
I think he's just, like, training and doing, like, I don't know. Exactly.
But he's not
like
on the Dagobah first yet. One,
I think he is there. Yeah, he is there. Because at the end of episode 3, he just goes
he's
to
just
Dagobah.
Like, peace.
Yeah. They show him land. Or is that a deleted scene? I think that's a deleted scene,
Yeah.
I remember the scene very vividly. Yeah,
I remember.
It's a deleted scene.
I remember him talking to Chewbacca, right?
Yeah, and then he leaves. But there is a deleted scene where he just lands on Dagobah and he's just like chilling. But I think he's on Dagobah in season 1 of Rebels.
Okay.
Because he communicates like through the Force telepathically somehow. I don't know how he does that from a very far distance. But I mean, he's Yoda, so I guess he could do crazy things.
Probably.
But yeah. More Yoda, more Darth Vader, more anybody in Rebels. Anytime like other people show up, it's awesome.
But Is this the one with Will Friedle?
No, that's Guardians. This is with Freddie Prinze Jr.
Okay.
As the main guy, or the main... Well, the main guy is the kid, I guess, but one of the main characters.
With the slingshot?
Yeah.
Once I saw that recently, and I was like, I don't know how I feel about that.
He doesn't use a slingshot anymore, because he got a lightsaber.
A blaster lightsaber, right?
Yeah. So it's like more kiddie. It's even more kiddie than like...
Is it rated Y7? Or why?
I would guess it'd be Y7. Like, it's not completely kiddie.
Like, my niece wanted to see it today, and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Says the person who started watching R-rated movies at, like, a young age.
I mean, I could see some episodes are different than others, so, like...
I mean, my niece is
six. I would say it's Y7. That'd be my guess.
Do you remember one of the first shows I saw that was, when they? Do you remember when they introduced the Y and Y7 system?
Kind of. Because I remember like looking. I remember because
I think
screen.
It must have been like 96 because I remember I wasn't 7 yet.
Yeah. 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 It must have been, yeah.
No, I know. Was it? Because I remember Are You Afraid of the Dark was still on, and that was one of Nickelodeon had two Y7 shows, and that was one of them. I don't remember the
Do
other
one.
Do they
still have that? Is the rating still the same? Okay.
TVY, Y7, something else, and then MA.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
it's 14. There's TV 14 now, right? I think Gotham's like TV 14 or something.
And I'm just like, what? What changes in those 14 to 17? Because like MA is technically 17.
Yeah.
And like MA should be like much older. Actually, MA should be 18 because there is nudity in it.
Well, I guess it's the same as R. R 17, so MA 17.
Yeah, but like you can't see nudity unless you're 18, right?
No, that's R. R 17.
No, I mean like, but like porno. What makes a porno different than besides like the sex? The actual, like the physical sex.
Well, that's the rating system, isn't it? I don't know what crosses the line.
Because if you go to a website that says like contains nudity, you have to be over 18 to see that website.
Yeah. I think it's just different for TV and movies than it is for the internet for some reason.
There should be some consistency along everything.
There should, but there usually isn't. They can't all agree. They can't get into one room and be like, okay, TV, internet, and movies, let's all agree on this.
Once you're 18, you can see some dicks and some tits.
It's like, okay.
If you're 14, you can hear some bad words and see some minor violence.
But if it's in the 80s, you can hear the F word if it's PG. Yeah.
You can also see people get torn apart by sharks.
Yes. This is the world.
Yeah. You could also see a man's arm get cut off in a bar. A very disfigured man.
Of course. You can see your main character's parent or uncle and aunt get torched. Well, not see it, but you can see their dead bodies.
Bodies.
And then their skeleton remains on the ground.
It's like horrifying.
And it's okay. It's very. If
I saw
paying
it like
attention.
Recently with my niece and nephew last week.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what happened? And he's like, Darth Vader found them. And I was like, yes, good job.
Yeah, that's like very, like, maybe it's a good idea that Luke doesn't react that strongly. Because I think if he did, more people
Yeah,
because
clearly he's like lobotomized.
He is. He's like, oh, they're dead. Oh, I got no reason to stick around here.
Yeah,
let's go.
He's like, good. The only thing holding me back, holding me down in this place are these two.
Like, it plays like emotional music, but then he's just like, oh. And then he's very shocked by it. Then he's like, all right, I'll go fight the Empire then. But
you know, that's actually a good thing, because if he was vengeful about it.
True, he'd go to the dark side.
Go to the dark side.
So, yeah, Jedi's
so clearly Jedi's
have no emotion.
Have no emotion, yeah.
They're just like, oh.
Well, they say that. You're
it's
not
true.
Supposed to have emotion, yeah.
It's true. Like, if that was Anakin, he would have started killing more sand people for no reason.
Yeah, for no reason.
It's like, I'm going to start killing sand
people.
I like
to think that was a statement on post-9/11 environment that we lived in.
I think so. It came out right after 9/11. And he was probably filming it during 9/11.
Yeah, and he's just like, you know what? Anakin needs to kill all these sand people.
Yes.
No more sand people.
Like, wait
you just
a second.
See George Lucas say that as he's writing.
The Middle East is full of sand. Wait a second. I don't like this.
He's like, we're filming in Tunisia. I don't like these people. They're living on my set. I can't go back to my own set because these sand people decided to live there.
Oh, the prequel. Well, the originals are kind of racist, but the prequels are pretty racist. Or even more racist.
I feel like, the prequels are like more blatantly racist.
Yes.
Like the original ones. Like,
the originals are racist by omission more.
Well, not just that, but whenever I read about, like, oh, like the most I think, did I read it on this podcast? Is like the most racist things about Star Wars.
I think.
And one of them was like the Tusken Raiders were supposed to be like Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how are they Arabs?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I was like, oh, because they're covered up by, like,
I think it's
for some reason,
they live
like,
in the sand.
Thin cloth and they live in the sand. I was like, that's just a logical way to live in the desert.
Yeah. It's definitely the
Viceroy.
Gungans and the Viceroy, those are more racist, I think.
Yeah. Those are, like, the most racist, I think.
Yeah. It's because of the voices. Like, the Tusken Raiders are like they don't sound like anybody.
And Watto.
Yeah. True.
Watto is very... Like, I wonder what Steven Spielberg thought about that. So he's always very outspoken about those kind of things.
We can't be... I can't be connected to this, George.
Yeah. He's like, George.
What do you think you're doing? It's okay with the sand people, but come on.
It's pretty much the same conversation that happened in Robot Chicken with, like, Lando Calrissian and Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. Boba, Boba, I love your ship, but it's not too fond of the name. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Netflix today, Vampire Academy.
Come back tomorrow for The Leftovers. See, here are such little news.
Very little.
45 minutes.
Oh, whoa.
So, see? We know how to do it. We're professionals, you guys.
We figured this out. We got this down.
Yeah, we just have to talk about the candy desk.
Yes. Which is more interesting anyway.
Yeah, it is more interesting than our thoughts on racism and the Star Wars universe. Until tomorrow, we are Destiny Pizzas. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Pizzas. Until next week, grab a slice and enjoy. Goodbye.